I remember reading a little piece that I came across. It had actually apparently been posted on the notice board of a police department in a city in the United States of America. And it was entitled, How to Make a Child a Delinquent. I'll not read you everything that it said, but it began this way. It said, first of all, begin at infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he will grow up to believe that the world owes him a living. Secondly, when the child picks up any bad language, laugh. This will make the child think that he or she is cute. Thirdly, never give them any spiritual training. Wait until they have grown up and then let them decide for themselves. Next, avoid the use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex in the child. Then it said, pick up everything the child leaves lying around, books, shoes, clothes, do everything for them so that they will be experienced in giving all responsibility to others and never expecting that they have any responsibility themselves. And then it finishes by saying this, take their part against neighbours, teachers, policemen, etc., because they are just prejudiced against your child. An interesting little article. This evening, as we think a little bit more about the subject of Christian parenting, the nurturing of our children, and yes, I am conscious that in a gathering like this, we're all at different stages. There are people here who don't have any children. There are people here who have little children. There are people here whose children have grown up and have children of their own. And so I realize that as we speak about these things, that I'm speaking to a very mixed group of people. Last week, we basically said three things. We were looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, and we were learning that the passage that really speaks about parenting and bringing up children is set in the context of love. So love is foundational. Love is really at the foundation of everything. And it taught different lessons. It teaches parents to keep investing in their own marriages if they are still in that context. And to love their children unconditionally, even when they send you scatty, to keep loving them unconditionally. We were learning love's foundational. We were learning not to provoke or exasperate our children. And we thought about some of the ways in which that can happen. And then we finished by picking up on that phrase from Ephesians 6 and verse 4, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. To bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as the older version puts it. Children are a blessing from God. They really are. The psalmist says in Psalm 127, sons are a heritage from the Lord, and so are daughters. So our children are a wonderful blessing from the Lord. But this evening, just for a little moment, let me pick up as I develop this theme, because we mustn't be carried away into sentimentality when it comes to these issues. There is, of course, another side to parenting, which makes parenting so challenging. Children are prone to do their own thing. And you say to me, oh, no, they would never do their own thing. But, of course, we realize that that is the case. They are prone, to put it in theological language, they are prone to sin and to rebel. And, of course, we live in an age, especially in the West, where that's the sort of thing, if you say it to some people, that they would look at you as if you had said something horrendous. How could a little child like that, how could you think that they would ever do such a wrong thing as be a sinner? The great debate has raged in many a generation, the nature versus nurture debate. Are children born with the capacity to do wrong, or do they just learn to do wrong because they pick it up from other people around them? Well, of course, children can learn and are always learning, and children can learn to do wrong and pick up bad habits from others around them. But biblical Christianity does teach us that we are, to use the old phrase, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And I'm sure for every, if you're a parent here this evening, you will have seen this worked out disturbingly, troublingly, even in your little angelic child. And that is why children need to be trained and guided and instructed and corrected. That word corrected brings us to think of the whole issue of correction and discipline. Let me read you a verse which says, it's in our Bibles, Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Now, I don't doubt that that verse has been abused down through the generations. When we think of discipline and correction, it goes without saying, but we ought to say it, no form of discipline should ever do violence to a child. No form of discipline should ever be administered when a parent is out of control. I like the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases Proverbs 13, verse 24. He says this. He says, "A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them." But how is the question? And of course, we need to remember that the way you might discipline a four-year-old is different to the way that you might discipline a 15-year-old. And of course, we remember that children and young people are different. They're not all the same. Different personalities, different temperaments, and different issues, all sorts of things going on. And as you probably know in life, some children, their makeup is such that even to raise your voice to one young person almost crushes them, whereas to another young person doesn't faze them at all. So they're all different, aren't they? I suppose all I would say is that couples need to decide together how they're going to correct their children. And couples need to be clear that because they do not have the luxury of ignoring this subject, of sort of saying, "Well, I don't really need to think about that." Bill Hybels, some of you will know the name of Bill Hybels, in a helpful little book called Making Life Work, he speaks of the importance of parents finding appropriate ways to guide and to instruct the behavior patterns of their children. And he says this, and I quote, if we don't discipline and correct, if we let our children grow up without limits, without any boundaries, without consequences, responsibilities and accountability, we are guaranteeing them a lifetime of heartache and disaster. Now, that's quite a strong statement, but I think it is spot on. It is spot on. And can I say, young people, sometimes you might be thinking, "Well, why do my parents restrict me in this way? Why do they create all of these boundaries?" It's because they love you. Just consider for a moment, young person, that your parents actually might just know a little bit about life, more than you might realize. So they're not out to spoil your life, I can assure you. They're not out to give you a hard time, but at heart, they love you more than you can ever maybe imagine. They love you. So there's lots of issues here. Correcting children, helping children and young people understand the connection between actions and consequences. Modeling in our own lives good and appropriate behavior. Sitting down with children and young people and saying, look, that didn't quite go the way that any of us wanted. So, look, here's another way that maybe in the future we can, and you can think about doing that. Withholding privileges. Using timeouts. The S word. Well, all we need to do is pray for God's guidance and patience and love. Come to an agreed policy. Be consistent and get some practical help. One practical little thing that I've been pushing is this little book by Michael and Hilary Perrott, The Highway Code for Parenting. Very helpful little book. It's just built around sort of ABC. There's a chapter here, choosing to discipline. Drawing boundaries, reasons for rules, don't be majoring on minors, mean what you say, action and consequence, and catch your child being good. There's a good one. Yeah. So parents, let's not just have something to say when children do something that we feel is wrong. Let's be quick to say to them, actually, that was really very good. And you remember what I said last week, the little article I had come across, three little phrases that boys need to hear, whether they're boys that are growing up or young teenage lads. Remember those phrases? One, I love you. Two, I'm proud of you. And three, you're a good lad. So men, don't be afraid, as and when appropriate, to say that to your young lads, so that they can, and I can assure you, as you know yourself, that's the sort of thing that young lads will remember. It really is. It's a heavy responsibility, but what an amazing privilege to bring up children, to bring them up. You remember that phrase? And that's the phrase. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up. Bring them up. And we live in an age where sadly, too many people just ignore that. They don't bring them up. And here's the challenge that I will repeat this evening. And I want this challenge to go out in love and in grace to many people in our community who maybe aren't bringing up their children in the way that they ought, who are being a bit careless and lax. Here's the challenge. If you don't bring them up in a certain way, the world will bring them up in a certain way. Now, that's a very, very sobering thing. And I have to say, as a pastor and a minister, I sometimes, it scares me when I think of some situations where people just, for whatever reason, don't seem to be too interested in being an influence for God and good in their family situation. And they seem to be blind to the fact that as they are not bringing them up, that the world will bring them up in another way. And they may well live to regret that they didn't bring them up in the right way. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, a child left to itself, to himself, disgraces his mother. And how many children and young people, even in the Mourne area, are left to themselves? And one day, the truth of that proverb, we trust it's not the case, but it may be borne out in some situations that disgrace will be brought because nobody took the time or the effort to bring them up in the right way. So remember, the patterns we set for our children will take root. So be encouraged, parent here this evening. The patterns that you set in your children, whether they're young or whether they're a little bit older, pray that they will really take root. Teach your children about basic things like the importance of telling the truth and being honest and being compassionate and being kind and respecting other people and sharing. Now, those are almost very basic things, but sometimes it just needs to be said. Teach your children, teach your young people, help them to know that there's a God in heaven who loves them, who loves them. Sit down with your child, your young person, and tell them, do you know that God in heaven loves you so much that he gave his son to die on the cross so that you would have eternal life as you put your trust in him? Help your children and young people to develop their own natural abilities and interests. Encourage them in the wholesome things that they love to do. I remember reading a lovely story about a family and a little child who, and it was obvious from the time this child was quite young that the child had a gift in drawing and in painting, and a lovely story of how that was nurtured by the parents. And it developed into something wonderful in their lives. So think about your children, whether they're young or whether they're a little bit older. What are the things that they have a heart for? Encourage that in them. Sometimes parents have made a mistake in trying to push their young people in a certain direction, and it's really just been something in the parents' heart, that what they wanted. Encourage your children in their heart. And in their ability and in their interest. Isn't much of parenting so much of it about balance? The balance between loving our young people and yet setting boundaries and limits. The balance of encouraging them, but also challenging them. The challenge of instructing them and speaking and saying, look, this is what you need to be doing. And then listening to what they have to say. The challenge between getting involved with them and then stepping back to let them step out themselves. I don't know, I was asking our Sunday school teachers earlier at the meeting. I know I sometimes jokingly ask this, do you all read the bulletin that you get on a Sunday? I'm sure many of you do. Are some of you shaking your heads? At least you're being honest. Well, you should read the bulletin. And if you read the bulletin today, you would have seen that book referred to 11 ways to instill a biblical worldview in your kids. Yes, it's American. In your children. By a lady called Linda Weddle. And just in case you haven't read the bulletin, let me just read what these are. One, pray for them and pray with them. Two, show respect for the authority of God. Three, show them how to be students of the Bible. Four, teach during teachable moments. Five, explain that the Bible is alive and relevant. Six, encourage good friendships. Seven, be an example of someone who's not afraid to stand firm in the faith. Eight, answer the hard questions. Nine, introduce them to others who have a strong faith. 10, serve together. 11, develop a global awareness. It's actually a very, very helpful little book. I actually didn't, to be honest, I didn't know the book existed. And when Dave and I were in Minneapolis, the Stokes kindly gave us a few books. and that was in the middle of it. So very, very helpful little book. Folks, the theme this evening is maybe touching on different things. I want to just say a wee word to grandparents. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 is one of the texts in the Bible that has a word for grandparents. It says, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Parents are the pride of their children. In this day and age, and I'm sure it certainly is true, children are the pride of their parents. But it's interesting that the writer of the Proverbs actually never says that in an explicit way, but he does say parents are the pride of their children. Let me read a wee paragraph from a man called Boyd Bailey, who says this. He says, grandchildren are gifts from God that infinite love and that invite love and unify families. They are reminders that the Lord is at work extending his legacy. So as you love these little ones, make sure to plant the word of God in their hearts, modeling grace, love, forgiveness, and the fear of the Lord. Teach them to keep their eyes on Jesus, because he will never let them down. Godly grandparents invite their grandchildren into their lives. I think that's helpful. And again, if you had read the bulletin today, which I know some of you did, the words of James Dobson were there. Let me read. I don't have it on the screen. Just listen carefully. This is what James Dobson said, and he mentions a couple of, must be American, more American names. He says this, as grandparents, we desire to help usher our Brandons and Megans across the threshold of adulthood. We can best do this when we realize that these youth, who much of the time are carefree and happy, are also suffering through the most trying years of life, from puberty to young maturity. We gently criticize their behavior when we must. We set guidelines and expressions when they're entrusted to our care, even as we wouldn't question another adult's toupee or hairdo. We avoid personal remarks about our emerging adult teens, whose souls may have been torn and trampled already in the school gauntlet or by conflicts at home. But most of all, he says to grandparents, we support, we listen, we pray, and we love. How true that is. How true that is. I like the way that Dobson there acknowledges that the life of young people is not always straightforward. And young people, sometimes the older people can maybe be a bit too hard on you. But again, actually, they love you and they care for you and they want the very best for you. It's not always easy for young people. It's not always, maybe some of you young people here tonight. And for all us older folk know, the truth is we maybe don't know. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe you're going through a struggle. Isn't it lovely to know that there are parents and grandparents and others in the church who care for you? So in summary, what are we saying tonight? Well, as Reformed Christians, as Presbyterians, we believe that our salvation and the salvation of our children is in God's hands. And believing that truth, of course, does not remove our responsibility or our role to nurture and to bring up. We say to people, if parents are able to make a credible profession in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we say to them, bring your children for baptism. If parents are not yet able to make that credible profession of faith, we also offer the opportunity that children, along with their parents, can come for a Thanksgiving, where we give thanks to God for the arrival of little children and we pray for the family. If some people are not sure about that and they would rather their children be baptized, then we say to them, well, look, there's nothing to stop that. Seek the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand for the gospel and bring your children so that they might be baptized. And as you seek to parent your children, remember the points that we've been making, that love is the foundation and in many ways the umbrella over everything. Do not provoke or exasperate. Let's not provoke or exasperate our young people. Let's train them. Let's seek to nurture them in the Lord Jesus. Discipline and correct in a loving manner. Aim at their hearts. Point them to Jesus all the time. That's ultimately what we're longing for. It's not even behavior control that we're interested in. It's the heart. It's the heart. If the Lord has the heart, the behavior will sort itself out. Pray with and for your children. Bring your children to worship. Do what you can to encourage other people to bring their children to worship. And I want you to go out and I want you to influence and just encourage other people that we miss them. There are families that we see very often. There are families that we don't see just as much. But we're not judging anyone. We just long to see more and more people coming along. We long to see more and more parents coming with their children. And all of this is part of the nurturing of our children so that they will love Jesus and that one day they will make a public profession of faith themselves. That is, if you like, the thing that we aim for. Only God can see the heart. That's true for adults as it is for children. And a primary evidence of a regenerate heart is the readiness in the words of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So in essence, let me try and summarize and crystallize what our understanding is. Christian parenting is about nurturing and rearing our children and our young people so that one day they will make a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be received into full communion around the Lord's table. That's what we long for. So boys and girls, if you're a young boy or a girl here this evening, give all that you know of yourself to all that you understand of Jesus. And listen to your parents and obey them in the Lord because they love you as you love them. Christian teenager, maybe here this evening. And notice what I say, Christian teenager, you profess to love the Lord Jesus. Prepare yourself. And maybe this will be happening soon. Maybe it'll be happening in the next year or the next couple of years. That you will come to that point in your life where you say, I want to make that public profession that I am a Christian. And you will stand here and you will say, yes, I am a Christian and I want to follow Jesus. And what joy that will bring to your parents who have sought to nurture you. And ultimately, what thanksgiving it will bring to Almighty God. And to all parents, again, I simply say, bring them up. Nurture your children. And for those here this evening, and your children are now grown up, and maybe they have got children of their own, well, you can continue to pray for your children and for your grandchildren, and you can be an influence for God and for good on that generation. And maybe you have a situation where somebody in your family isn't showing the interest that you had hoped for. Well, do not give up hope. Continue to love them. Continue to pray for them. Continue to do what you can to point them in the ways of Jesus Christ. And let me make this final appeal to all parents of children in this community. In many ways, what I'm now saying as I finish, in one sense, I'm preaching to the people who aren't actually here. But I'm depending on you to go out and to pass on this word in a gentle and positive way. Let us pray and let us do all that we can to see other parents bringing their children to church, that they might hear the good news, to bring them up. Why do I say that? I say it because if we don't bring them up, and if families don't bring them up in the ways of the Lord, be absolutely assured that the world will bring them up to follow its way. And that's a sobering thought. So let us all here and within our reach, let us rise up and defend our children and our young people. The world is not neutral. The world is not neutral. And if you and if we and if all connected with our church family do not nurture the children for Christian faith, the world will nurture them to have no faith. Be assured of that. So let's really take this on board. I finish with this. We sing it often when we have a baptism. Our children, Lord, in faith and prayer, we bring before your face. Let them your covenant mercies share and save them by your grace. In early days, their hearts secure. From evil ways, we pray, and let them to life's end endure by walking in your way. We do not ask for wealth or fame for them in this world's strife. We ask in your almighty name, give them eternal life. That's our prayer for our little children, for our teenagers, and for our children who've grown up, and for their children, and their children to come. Let us pray. Father, we realize that there's so much that could be said. Enough has been said this evening, and maybe too much. But Lord, we pray that you would take this, and you would just apply it to our hearts. And Lord, that for us as individual families, for us as a church family, and for all those, Lord, who are not able to be with us tonight, Lord, we pray for each and every family connected with our church. We care for them all. We love them all in the Lord. And we covet the little children, and we covet each and every one, whatever stage of life they're at, for the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, please help us. Forgive us at times in the church family when we maybe have made a mess of things. And Lord, we haven't been that winsome, loving, attractive people that we ought to have been. But may in love we go out and reach out and draw in with the love of Jesus. And we ask this prayer in our Savior's name. Amen.